Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to have some fun this hour. Wrap up with some good stories of the day, some local events going on. Touch on our schedule here at the stations. Mm-hmm. Us and our friends over at 105.5 WIRI will let you know going on both stations before we wrap up today. We're also a little bit later going to get into Dad Rock. Who is on the Mount Rushmore of Dad Rock? Who are the big four bands?
Hello, Cleveland.
Yes, hello.
Rock and roll.
Hey, are we in Cleveland? Are we in Cleveland? Hello, Cleveland. Yes. We got all that coming up for you. But speaking of music, we actually start off talking a little music.
All right.
The final song Eddie and Alex Van Halen worked on together is being released, but there is a bit of a catch. You have to buy Alex's upcoming autobiography to hear it.
What?
Yeah. The book is called Brothers, and it comes out October 22nd. The song, which is just titled Unfinished, will be on the audiobook version. Alex has called the book, quote, my tribute to my brother, my way of saying goodbye. Ed, I love you and I miss you. When I see you again, I'm going to beat you up. That is me paraphrasing. I cannot say what he actually said. Essentially that. Alex and Eddie, of course, as close as brothers I can get. Mm-hmm. And if this helped him heal or get, you know, get through or what have you, that's fantastic. And I can't wait to get this. I'm going to buy this book for my dad. I know how big of a Van Halen fan he is. He loves biographies. He's really into biographies. Mm-hmm. Like I'd say the last 4 or 5 years, that's all he's been reading. Right. Some different baseball players and stuff. I think he'll really dig it. I do find it a little cheesy, a little lame that you're going to only release it this way. Hopefully, I'm going to try to give the benefit of the doubt that eventually they will release the song. Or maybe the reason they're releasing it this way is because it truly is an unfinished song and it's not really fit for radio or whatever.
That's what I was thinking. Because at first, my first reaction was yours. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think. But then I thought, wait a minute, maybe it's either not that great. Or like you said, it's just kind of an outline of a song kind of thing. Then I would be like, no, then you don't probably want to release it. It's just kind of hardcore, Van Halen fans kind of thing. They're going to want it. They're going to want to hear it just because of, their fandom. But yeah, maybe it's not such a bad thing.
It didn't hit me as hard as some celebrity deaths or anything.
Right.
But Eddie Van Halen's passing really has had a long effect on me in a weird way, where I find myself every time I hear a riff of his or something, I have to go and hear the whole song.
Wow.
And then it sends me down a rabbit hole of Van Halen songs. And I'm a huge Eddie Van Halen fan, but I was never a gigantic Van Halen fan. You work in classic rock for 9 years, you get a little burnt out with some bands.
Inured to it,
but it kind of rejuvenated it all for me, and now I'm listening to certain songs, and Unchained is one of the greater rock songs of all time.
You know, I think part of that for me is if I could have gotten the great riffs and the great playing and stuff without David Lee Roth, I think I would have liked the band better. And it's not anything against him personally. I'm not a fan of his vocals. I just don't like the way he sings. But you're right though. I love on Beat It. That guitar riff on that Eddie does, that's amazing, man. That's brilliant.
Eddie's not just the best guitarist of his generation, I think. If somebody wanted to make the argument he is the best guitarist they ever heard, I'm not going to fight him on it. He's not my pick, but if somebody makes him their pick, I'm not going to fight him on it.
It'd be a good argument to have, a fun one, but yeah.
There are few people that changed that instrument for generations like Eddie Van Halen did. When Van Halen just happened to be coming around, music videos started getting bigger.
That's right.
And you didn't see, tell me anybody you saw in a music video before that doing the finger tap, and you hear modern guitarists talk about what that meant to them, because it wasn't just the finger tap, it was, oh, I can do things differently. Whether it's the finger tap or it's Tom Morello holding his guitar up in a weird place so we can hit it chords differently. The way certain guitarists bend the chords where they wouldn't have done it otherwise until seeing Eddie Van Halen do it. His influence on that instrument is unparalleled when it comes to certain musicians and the instruments they've played. Just an incredible artist.
Yep.
I am curious to hear it, and I'll have to borrow it from my dad. When I'm looking for marriage advice, there are a lot of people that I will go to. I would go to. I'm not married, but I would go to.
Right.
Heard the other day from Jamie Lee Curtis and her saying that, you know, her secrets to the 40-year marriage. Mm-hmm. So Snoop Dogg is the logical next choice to go to for marriage advice.
Now, of course.
Snoop is making the rounds, man. He's been around the last couple of years being everywhere.
He must just be having a lot of fun. That's all I can say.
One of the things I think that gets lost in the shuffle with him and a lot of artists, and it's understandable. I actually don't hear most artists complain about this. They get it. A lot of Snoop is real, and this is what you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. And then there is also the image and what sells albums, what helps your marketability and mm-hmm. all these things. And Snoop comes across, I imagine, to many people as a ladies' man or some of these things. This is a guy who could not be more shy around women and has been married for 27 years to the same woman, mm-hmm. I believe his first or second girlfriend.
Wow.
And has just no interest in that whole part of the game or anything like that. Like, he raps about it. He talks about it because that is part of the image. That is part of the music.
Right.
I think that he doesn't have to, but he's chosen to, and that's him as an artist, his decision.
Right.
But this is actually somebody that, if you've heard him in interviews and when you hear him talk about his wife, just head over heels about that woman. Yep. And still, he gets
very,
like,
much in love. Yes.
You see a very different, hear a very different Snoop voice when he's talking about his wife or his kids. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different guy. And for him to actually talk about this, I don't know that you want to take the advice. I haven't read it yet. But I do think that it's.
We'll find out, I guess.
He definitely means it from his heart, whatever mm-hmm. he's saying. And according to Snoop, he says, quote, "She understands me. She's a great mother, a tremendous grandmother, an excellent wife, and a great friend. She knows how to push all of my buttons to make me act like a fool or to make me act cool, and I love it." He adds, quote, "You learn as time goes by, okay, you are in control. You run this, you run that, because I make bad decisions. The good to me, to my bad, is her." So what he goes on to talk about is finding the yin to your yang.
Yep.
And how it's important to certainly have certain things in common. It's great to, oh, you like that band too. Mm-hmm. Oh, you like these kind of movies too. I think that one of the sneaky important things for a relationship is having a similar sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I think that goes
that helps a long way.
Yeah. Especially the older you get. I feel like that becomes more and more important the older you get. Mm-hmm. But it's also that opposite. I have no interest whatsoever in dating myself. None. Nothing could sound more uninteresting to me than that.
Right. Well, and you know, he makes a great point. You know, find each other's strengths. And if someone is better at something than other ones, yes, let them take the lead on it. It doesn't matter who it is. And the other thing is that even if you're lousy in that whatever that is, the other person can help you get better at it.
Yeah.
There's that too. There's the learning from each other, that kind of thing. That's how for me, and I totally agree with him. I think that is, like, you know, other than, of course, the obvious, communication is the most important thing in a marriage. But this is one of those things: knowing each other's strengths, knowing each other's weaknesses, knowing how to help the other one when they need it, or letting him just do when they don't need your help, that kind of thing. They can just go ahead and do it on their own.
I've been very, very fortunate with certain, just a couple of things, but some really key things in life. And one of them was growing up with the parents I had. Mm-hmm. And my father was Catholic Italian greaser from the other side of the tracks.
Right.
My mother was a Jewish hippie from the other side, and couldn't have been more parallel opposite people. Fell in love when they were 14, 15, been together ever since. And mm-hmm. Almost every day of my life, I've seen them bring out the better in each other. Mm-hmm. I've seen them bicker plenty of times.
Of course.
I've seen them have opposite feelings about certain things that they feel very passionate about, but never the big things. Never religion, politics, mm-hmm. anything like that. Right. We're talking what for dinner or something like that. Yeah. Or, you know, how could you like that movie? What are you talking about? Music or something like that. And at the same time, bringing out the best in each other. I genuinely believe this is the formula. It's not the only formula, but one of the key formulas that can work for anybody out there as far as looking for somebody or knowing if you have something.
Right. That's why I push back against the whole soulmate thing. I think you can make your own soulmate. It's, you know, that there's people that you're compatible with and there's ones that you're not. But if you're interested in keeping the relationship going, you need to work at it. And that's one of the, and, but it, you know, it, and but doing it in a way that bring, like you said, brings out the best in each other.
To be old man yelling at cloud for a second, one thing I do worry about, or I don't know if it's smart, because on one hand, hey, if it ain't working, well, you might as well get this done now and wrap it up and move on with each other's lives and everything. At the same time, I do worry that people give up too easy on things. And I think that there's, it's a case by case basis. And,
of course.
And it's not fair to judge generations or any right. of these kind of things. But I do, and if I'm honestly talking about this, I'm more worried about it with our generation than I am any others, especially the younger ones and everything. I feel like they get a better handle on these things. It seems a little bit more like it's our generation that has been a little bit more, some people really hang in there, some people don't, some people maybe shouldn't hang in there and should or whatever. And all this is case by case. And it's only those people right. know truly what they should and shouldn't be right. done.
And a lot of it is it, are you willing to fight for it? That's the thing. If you're finding yourself, like it's like, no, it's not worth it, that kind of thing. I think there's a balance to what you're saying. You know, you do have to, at some point it's not going to work, and you do probably should call it quits. I'm totally on board with that, because those relationships can get toxic really fast and not good for anybody. But I think if you really desire it, you know, you want to be there are ways to work at it, not just give up. There are ways to make it work.
And then there's people, you know, getting up there in age like myself, where you're just like, do you like me? Oh,
do
okay.
you like me?
Let's make this work, please.
No, still passing
I'm
notes.
I'm kidding. Friday, 7 o'clock, CBS. Let's Make a Deal. Primetime is on for you. Looking at what's new on your small screen tonight.
All right.
On the CW tonight. Yes, that is still a thing. Allison Hannigan is the guest star on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That's so mean.
Anyway. It's really mean of me. I'd be lucky to
but
be
still,
on the CW.
Yes, yeah.
Allison Hannigan from How I Met Your Mother,
Mother Met
and
Your Mother,
American Pie and those movies. I bet she's good on there. I bet she does a good job on
there. I would be curious to see how good she does, yeah.
Also on ABC tonight, the one-hour Robin Roberts special, the 76th Emmys, A Night of Firsts. It includes interviews with the great Carol Burnett and Lydia Gladstone and some others.
Wow, cool.
Robin Roberts is one of the best at that job.
She's very good.
She's really good at what she does.
She is.
Let's see here. That Civil War movie is streaming on Max. I have no interest in that. but I, if anybody is out there interested, and you have Max.
There you go. It's now available.
They held on to that one for a lot longer than most do nowadays before they let that released on streaming. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting.
The kids seem to like that studio, the A4 or whatever it's called.
Yes, A24.
You know, the Zoomers are really big on that. So
they have some interesting movies. Mm-hmm. They're very hit or miss for me, but I do see what you're talking about.
Yep.
Some of them do really well. And of course, there's Sunday Night Football.
Oh, geez.
The Houston Texans host the Chicago Bears.
Which in years past would have been like, yawn.
Yeah.
Not this year, man.
No.
Some exciting young players. Players on both teams. That should be a good game.
Going to be a really interesting.
Could be a shootout too.
I would as your resident Chicago fan, I will tell you they have no chance. But I am looking for a competitive game. I'm looking for a good game there and growth out of a young team.
Yes,
and that's not just the Bears. Houston,
very young team too. Yeah,
there are people out there. If you haven't been paying attention, y'all, there are people out there that got Houston not only in the AFC Championship game but possibly beating Kansas City. So that's a solid team.
Man,
down.
If it weren't for the injuries to the Bears receiving core, you would see two of the best receiving cores in football against each other with two young, exciting quarterbacks. I'm telling you, it could be something.
Sunday at 7:30, CBS's 57th season premiere of 60 Minutes. Congratulations to them on that.
Wow.
Some reporting still on TV. That's nice to see. I haven't watched 60 Minutes that much over the years,
right.
but I still do watch it from time to time, and there is still ace reporting being done on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more of that.
That'd be nice.
And I'm very excited about this, even though I'll be honest with everybody. I have a class, and I probably won't be able to watch much of it, but I want to see the highlights from the 76th Annual Emmy Awards.
Okay.
I don't usually care about these things, but Dan Levy and Eugene Levy are hosting, bro.
Oh.
And I am one of the biggest Eugene Levy fans of all time.
Great.
And I like his son a lot. Yep. I love this combination. Those two work so good together. I'm kind of curious. I don't really care who wins awards. I want to see how those two do.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are in dire need of good MCs.
Oh,
we have almost none.
Where have they gone?
And the good
Where'd
MCs.
They go?
They don't even want to do it anymore.
No.
I don't want to bother him. He has earned his retirement and his relaxation, but I'm getting ready to bring up the red phone and call up Billy Crystal.
Like, just to see, maybe. Would you just one more time?
Please, yeah, please, because we got nobody, for us, man. Like, nobody wants to be a host anymore. Nobody wants this gig.
Well, and I can see why, because everyone piles on every time. Yeah. It doesn't matter who does it. They always pile on. And that thing. By the way, how excited are you? Only Murders in the Building. Mr. Eugene Levy.
Yes. Oh, it's so cool that he's on
there.
Isn't
that great?
It's been great.
Isn't it scary how much he looks like Steve Martin?
It is a little weird. I never would have thought that.
I never would have either. My gosh.
There's a couple scenes where they have on the same sets of glasses, and it is eerie how much they do look alike. It's weird. I would never have that. This third season's been really good, by the way. The Only Murders in the Building, very good. My review, watch it. And my other review, go to wrctheater.org and get your tickets for Drinking Habits.
Mm-hmm.
It premieres a little bit later this month on the 26th. Everybody, you want to get those tickets now? You can pick your seat. You can go ahead and get all set up and ready to help WRCT kick off its 50th season.
Yes. Can't believe so that, exciting. Man. It's so awesome.
So many great shows coming up this year. We'll be talking about them as we lead into them. And, of course, they got other great things going on, like their spooky karaoke night October 18th. That's going to be fun.
Yep.
Keep an eye on that Lewis Canton studio, everybody, too, because there's going to be some cool things going on there.
I just recently sent an email with some dates to Gretchen, so we will be hearing very shortly about a certain thing.
Seth and I are dying to talk about something with all of you, so we'll be on the lookout for that, too. And find out more and support local, support the arts, wrctheater.org. Get those tickets, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Seth and I are going to take a time out. When we come back, what age does life start getting real?
Never.
What age does start getting, life getting real?
I don't know. Fantasy
I love that answer. I really do.
Unicorns.
I like that.
Lollipops.
And leprechauns. all coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there, everybody. Happy Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Little Elton to play, Sir Elton to play us.
That's right.
I feel like for those that watched The Real World on MTV, I watched the first couple episodes, the first season, never went back. Just wasn't my thing.
No.
I learned really early on I was not going to be a reality TV guy.
No, I'm with you on that 100%.
I will admit I did watch The Osbournes a little bit. I don't know why, but I really like Ozzy and I really like that show
must
a little
have been
bit.
It,
but
yeah.
I couldn't watch too much of it and everything. It's just not my thing and I wholeheartedly admit that.
Yep.
That's not me judging that. If you like what you like, don't let anybody tell you different.
Right.
Enjoy your entertainment, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like snobs of entertainment.
No.
Or anything like that. But the opening line in the trailer theme song was, "When things start getting real." And I keep having that play over and over in my head. And it won't get out. I'm going to start playing the bumper music just to try to get a different earworm in my head.
Oh, gosh.
If there was ever a time when kids suddenly became an adult at 18, that's no longer the case. So, you know, 18 oftentimes is still considered the legal age and everything.
Right,
right. But how many people do we know actually actually acting like an adult?
The
at 18.
Age of majority, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even most 18-year-olds would agree that,
yes.
you know, that's, you know, it may be, you know, when you are legally an adult, but not everybody always feels like an adult at that
right.
age or acts like one.
Or acts like one.
Yeah.
Right?
So when does life get real? A study of four generations, boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, found that in their experience, adulthood actually starts at the age of 27.
20. Whoa. Oh, that's a little bit later than I thought.
Yeah. You're paying all your own bills, you're financially independent, and you're putting responsibilities over, quote, having fun. This starts to happen in your late 20s for most people.
Okay. All right. I get that.
Or if you're me, 40s. No. So you're paying your own insurance, you're not on your parents' family plan, you're laying the groundwork to support yourself and your family into the future, maybe even be starting a family.
Mm-hmm.
Older folks sometimes poke fun at younger generations for struggling with, quote, adulting, but 42% of people across all these generations say that they found that being an adult is harder than they expected it to be. 71% of Americans surveyed believe that being an adult is harder today than it was even 10 years ago. And again, that is out of all of those generations.
Wow.
So that is quite interesting to me. And maybe
that is
the most, probably the only really truly interesting part of this.
Right.
like any survey, all of this stuff needs to be taken with a grain of salt.
Of course.
And everything is a case-by-case basis in life.
Of course.
Remember that as you are seeing a lot of numbers and a lot of things this election season.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
what might be a study that makes sense in one part of the country may not in another part of the country.
Mm-hmm. Big country.
Everything not only should be taken with a grain of salt, but it also should be double and triple and quadruple checked. Mm-hmm. And there are reputable sources out there for you when it comes to that. We believe here at Civic that we are one of those. Mm-hmm. And I stand by that. I'll put my name on that. When it comes to something like this, I always find that it's that why they do the survey is one thing, but it's that kind of information that you find that you weren't necessarily looking for, but just kind of comes up and rises to the top of mm-hmm. these things. And we're just joking about this. It is one of the tropes of generations to pick on the younger generation.
Always.
Whereas here, you've got elder generations and almost all the generations agreeing, hey, it's tough when you're young getting into this, and that it's definitely tougher now than it was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I like seeing that acknowledgement. It doesn't mean that you're, this is something that happens all the time in our society where somebody is saying that they have the troubles that they have in life, the struggles that they have in life. And then this group of people out there that immediately like, well, I had it tough too. Oh, so you didn't have it tougher than me. I had it tougher than you.
Yeah.
And this need to compare ourselves to each other when everything is a case-by-case basis. And just everybody is entitled to their struggles and feeling those struggles.
Mm-hmm.
You can only see life through your own perspective.
Right.
And comparing yourself to a person in the third world country or something like that is ridiculous. It's also important to have perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And a little appreciation of, hey, it could be worse.
Yeah, a little self-awareness too.
Yes, you can do both.
You can.
You can feel bad and feel have a little pity. That's okay.
There's nothing wrong.
But there's a line in the sand when it comes to that stuff and going too far with it, I think. It's not only important for that and in your current life, but to have that for others and mm-hmm. to give others some grace when it comes to those things.
Well, you know, and maybe things have changed a lot in 10 years. Every 10 years, things change a lot in terms of where we are as a country, as a world. Okay. In some ways, is it harder now to make a living than it was 20, 30 years ago? I think it is, actually, for younger people. There's not those same kind of jobs that were there at the time. There's lots of reasons for this. It's not just, because the generation before you tore everything down. No, I mean, that's not really what they did, but it is so amorphous. It is so, you can't overgeneralize on these things, because if you do, you end up doing, you end up with the politics that we have right now, over these overgeneralizations.
It drives me crazy when I hear somebody complaining about inflation and how things are so much higher, blah, 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 and all that. And then somebody brings up, helping kids with student debt or something. Well, that's ridiculous. I made it just fine. I paid off my debt.
Yeah.
It's a different world. You were just talking about it. You were just saying how inflation and all these things. And just because you do something like that, say they pull off this bill and student debt is wiped clean.
Right.
You've got generations out there of people saying, well, I had to pay for my student debt. That's not fair or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about.
Yes.
It ain't about you, man. Like this world, you're important. Your feelings matter.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you. All of those things.
Right.
That being said, it's about the next generation. And for that generation, it's about the next generation.
Right.
That's what life is about, is making things better, not easier, better for others.
Exactly.
They will have their struggles and trials and tribulations where one thing goes away, another one pops up.
Mm-hmm.
And while you may have had to pay for your student debt, you also didn't have to deal with this, 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 and this. I can mention 9 to 10 things that were not a thing 10 or 15 or 20 mm-hmm. or 30 years ago.
Right.
It's perspective. And you should be proud. You can take pride in that when these things happen, when the younger generations, quote unquote, have it easier. That was the gig that we
all... Wasn't that what we were supposed to be doing?
We're supposed to be paving the way for the next generation so that they have it better than us. That's the job of an adult.
Right. And with doing it better for them, then it raises all boats, including yours.
Yeah.
These, it just, it, being, working towards that better future where everyone can you know, all be uplifted by it. That's something we should be trying to do. What else are we here for then?
This idea of romanticizing the past and the idea that things were, quote, certain things may have been, quote unquote, better. Certain things were definitely worse.
Yeah.
This is all about that. What if we were the same exact way we were in the 30s, 40s, or 50s? Our country would be like a third world country right now.
Yeah.
America would not be what it is. Mm-hmm. You have to evolve. You have to adapt. That is the whole point of all of this. And not for nothing, man, it's pretty cool. Like, it's pretty darn amazing. And we should all take some pride in that and what we have accomplished as generations in paving the way
And we should be thankful and grateful that we can do this.
This is one of the joys of getting older, is taking pride in things. Like, and sticking your chest out. Like, yep, we had something to do with that. You can thank our generation for that one. I mean, what do we missed the mark here. This is where we're supposed to be puffing our chest out.
That's why the next generation is there to poke, you know, holes in our puffery, right? It's like, we did this, and they're like, yeah, but you also did this. True. That's very true. Yes.
Fair point.
Keep us from getting too full of ourselves.
Yes. As we wrap up this segment, I did want to mention and send a big shout out to our good friends over at the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin. They sent us a thank you card. They were in the other day, and not just a thank you card, a handwritten one.
Seth. Those are something special about that.
Something about that just hits you differently.
Yeah.
Shout out to Beth and the gang over there. Be sure to check out that interview. You go to civicmedia.us under shows on the Midday Magazine. You'll find all of our great interviews there. I encourage you to spread them on social media as well. And most importantly, go to the Big Brothers Big Sisters website. Check out more about them. They have a list of kids that are waiting for a big brother or big sister. You can make that impact. Mm. You can, for like an hour or two, you can impact the future.
Yep.
Like, how often can you say
that's
that
really
in
cool
life?
Yeah.
And as somebody who's gotten the fortunate chance to do something like this, it's a relationship that you'll never forget.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, while you are doing this for the child, for the kid, you are going to get as much out of it as that kid will.
Oh, 100%.
I put my name on that. Yes. I guarantee it. Find out more at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin.com.
All right.
We will get to our news break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Got to let the Godfather of Soul play in, man.
We got to get to that line.
Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Friday out there, everybody. Mm-hmm. Happy Friday to you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this morning. Serious comedy to start your day on the morning show. And important discussions. We don't shy away from the big topics around here. We handle, we go into them. We get engaged with you guys.
Get our fingernails dirty, yeah.
And we want you guys to get your hands in the dirt with us on this one. Call up 715-424-2600. Let's be adults. Let's discuss this adultly and be, you
adultly?
Know, goodly each other. That's a word I just made up. I'm Dr. Seuss, apparently. Gen X guys tend to think that their music is still some of the baddest, the most all cool and the awesomest. And younger generations feel very similar. But to younger generations, this is called dad rock.
Yes, makes sense to me.
Basically anything above them. And this keeps changing as generations get older.
Of course, always. You know, they have different names for it, though.
But an interesting conversation came up recently about what are the best Gen X dad rock bands. Loudwire.com crunched the numbers to come up with the big four that they have here.
All right.
So now Gen X, should we get into the generations here?
Yeah, we kind of touched on it earlier as well. I believe Gen X is from, let's see, 65 to 1980, if I remember. That's generally what it is, if I'm right. Oh, wow, I got it right.
Yeah,
okay.
You got it right. That is exactly it.
All right.
The oldest Gen Xers, you know, and the youngest, in there. But, that is what we're talking about here. So anybody born from the ages of 65 to 1980, we are considered Gen X.
So we are at the tail end of that. James and I are at the tail end, yeah.
And so keep that in mind when they have their big four being Aerosmith, AC/DC, mm-hmm. Van Halen, mm-hmm. and Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with any of that. in part because I feel like some of those bands are my dad's bands.
They started in the 70s, and maybe that's why, like, because they started in the 70s, and when the older Gen Xers were getting into music, like 10, 12, 13 years old, and they started hitting. I think that's kind of where it's skewing a little bit towards the older Gen Xers.
One of the things that we don't necessarily talk too much about, but everybody is going to know exactly what I'm talking about when I bring this up, is one of the rites of passage in life. We all grow up with the music that our parents, our grandparents, our, the people that are around us, the people that raise us, the music they listen to is the music we inherit.
Yep.
And then there's that age, it varies for all of us, where you get to pick out your music.
Yes.
You get to, whether it's in the car riding with your parent to school and you get to pick the music, or you are going into the store and buying a physical album or CD or tape for younger generations, downloading the music and that. Whenever that rite of passage of, oh, I get to pick. What do I like? And certainly those early songs you pick and everything tend to be influenced by the music you grew up with. Mm-hmm. But then there is almost every single one of us do this thing where you rebel. And, well, your parents like this style of music, I'm going this direction.
Right.
I'm going to listen to this. And that is where some of the, where to me, if we're talking about your generation's music, that's the part I focus on. Not so much the music we grew up on, but the music we chose. That is where that is for me. And so for me, that's a whole different list of bands. All four of those bands are amazing. All four of those bands.
Oh, yeah. Very successful. Yeah.
And are big to Gen Xers. Almost every Gen Xer has at least one song from every one of those bands that you kind of dig, you like, or if not multiples.
Right.
So I'm not arguing with the list so much as I feel like it varies for different parts of Gen Xers.
Yes, because it's a 15-year gap we're talking about here. And so styles change. Music changes so quickly. I mean, even more now. But, I mean, even back then, it was you know, things would become popular and the ebb and flow of all that kind of stuff. I would say if I were making similar bands to these, okay, I'm not talking like new wave bands or anything like that. I'm talking bands, you know, kind of like the crunchy guitars and that kind of stuff. For the later Gen X, I would include... Probably Van Halen would also be on that list because they were really big in the early 80s
more
and the mid.
Sammy Van Halen. More Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. But I'm thinking more like Def Leppard. I'm thinking more like Bon Jovi. And there was another one I can't remember, the third one I was going to have in my head. But anyway, but like that, you know, these are not bands that I like personally, but I think those ones I would associate with the older or the younger generation of Gen Xers, and maybe the early millennials would be more for bands like that.
Yeah. They also did the big four of boomer rock, and the Beatles, Eagles, Led Zeppelin, and Rolling Stones were that for that. Now, that is a list, right?
I would have to agree.
It's
in terms of popularity,
one, yeah.
Those probably big four, yeah.
I think
maybe the Who on the end is the fifth one.
I would take the Eagles out and put the Who in.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, I think that's an interesting and good list.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and find out from you. Good morning. You're on the air.
Do we really have to be adults?
Not really.
No, not really.
At least,
you can pretend for a while.
I mean, we can pretend, but we'll just tell everybody else that. When we're hanging out and everything, no, we don't have to be. Especially on a Friday.
Sucks. I mean, adulting sucks. So.
It really does. We don't talk about this nearly enough.
Too much sweat involved, I'm telling you.
A lot of you got to be here at this time. You got to do this. A lot of that is adulting. What do you think of this list, man?
I mean, I like the list, but... Wouldn't you have to? I mean, you might be going to the younger Gen Xers, but what about Nirvana?
I was going to bring up Nirvana when Seth started talking about his list and everything. I don't know how we can do this and not bring up Nirvana.
Yeah, yeah.
And in part because not just that they were the only band that was doing what they were doing, but they were the biggest band to do what they did and put grunge on the map.
You know, I just make me think of something real quick, James. So, you know, we talked about the boomer bands, you know, the Beatles and stuff. The Beatles hit so hard, okay, that they couldn't have helped but have a huge impact. I think the bands we're talking about, the 80s, but I think Nirvana has the same thing for Gen Xers.
Oh, yeah.
Because they hit so hard, they created a whole genre, grunge or that kind of music, you know, the mope rock of the early 90s, right?
Mope rock is a great name for that, by the way. That's great.
We should call it, right? Yeah.
That's really good. We got to get that trend, get that hashtag started. Kev, what about another thing I think that is fun is one, coming up with your own Mount Rushmore, your four bands of your generation or when you grew up, but also, what are four bands that you would be embarrassed if we're on this list? Like Flock of Seagulls or, I mean, almost any 80s, early 80s artists. artists we could mention. Only one hit wonder in there. You know, the bands that like were big pop culture wise, like Milli Vanilli or something.
Oh God,
like
that's
that.
What
like,
I thought.
There's for every band that I could bring up that I'm proud of was, oh, that's my generation. I grew up with that band. There's bands that I see, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Who's this Milli Vanilli? I never heard of this band. What are you? Just moving on.
Well, yeah, you know, you think about it though too. I mean, back in the 80s, I mean, I'm not that much older than you and Seth. I mean, I'm a 72 kid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all the hair bands. I mean, you had all those hair bands.
Got to
mention
them.
Oh, yes.
Got to mention them.
Snake, you had, you know, White Snake and, darn it.
Rat with two T's.
I think yes, the biggest Poison, one of all of them, yeah. Poison.
I think you're right.
At least from what I remember. And maybe
Motley
it was
Crue.
Just. Yeah, Motley. Oh, wait a minute. No, Motley Crue. Motley Crue is bigger than Poison.
Boy, what about Twisted Sister? Cinderella. Cinderella never gets there to
Quiet Riot. Striper.
And they all have the name spelled wrong. Jekyll with a Y. I mean, come on.
I think the Red Hot Chili Peppers would be on my list. I think not only their longevity, but the different styles of music they did
really mashed up a lot of stuff.
They were really their own style. Yeah. They were really their own thing. Nirvana, Red Hot Chili Peppers are on my list so far. I'm not sure where else I go from that. But there's a couple. It's just talking about from my experience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think the fun thing about this is there's no wrong answer.
Of course not.
Like, you know, these are kind of those things that you just have fun with and everything.
Fun arguments.
I do think it's a fun list to come up with the shameful list. The list that you're ashamed of and everything. That's also a fun way to flip this, I think.
Well, if you want to go in that direction, why don't we look at when they started kind of getting into the rap scene?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had Tone Loc and Vanilla Ice and some of those. Yeah, bands, you know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is actually a really good one,
James.
Too. Yeah,
Snow.
Yeah.
Dang. See, I always get some with that one. I always get him with that.
I can handle Vanilla Ice. I can't handle Snow. I didn't like Vanilla Ice, but I get why he was popular. I get why he was a big deal and everything. The Snow one blows my mind. How was a Canadian kid from the upper class? Like, what was he?
It's not even really a rap.
What record company thought, this is a good idea? I'm going to pay this kid thousands of dollars to record a song.
Informer was a huge hit. I mean, that was the only one. But
Thank
I'm
God.
Telling you, I don't know.
God.
They thought of something.
I will never forget the look on Ed Lover's face when they played that on the old TV raps. I will never forget the look on his face. What are we doing? Kev, as long as we got you here, we can embarrass you. I mean, compliment and highlight you for a second. Happy birthday this Sunday, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Have a great one.
Have some fun.
Save that voice. If you could join us for Playmakers later, we'd love it. Otherwise, we will talk to you really soon. But enjoy your day, man.
We got a lot to talk about on Playmakers.
All right. Looking forward to it. Oh. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Have a great birthday, brother.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Best listeners in radio.
Yep.
We will take a quick time out, come back, wrap up the show. Morning show on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right?
Little of the Velvet Fog, Birthday Man, us in here a little bit.
I want to do the parallel universe where Mel Torme becomes a rock and roll star.
Yes.
That would be wacky and weird and wonderful, you know?
Oh, I love that idea. I want to get to a quick good story of the day. Seven goats on the loose in Kansas City, Missouri. They were on the loose actually since early August.
We're
finally wrangled by animal service officers and taken to a shelter. This, what do you call a gang of goats? What do you call a group
of
goats?
Oh, a group of goats.
What is a group of goats called?
We need to find that out right now.
I appreciate that. The goats were initially believed to be part of a Port Casey grazing project to clear brush when they appeared along the riverfront in early August. But Casey Pet Project investigators were surprised to discover all of the project goats were accounted for, leaving the loose animal's origin a mystery.
Okay.
Where did these goats come from?
Okay.
Quote, it is truly a mystery, Ryan Johnson, chief of animal services at the KC Pet Project, said. We're not sure where these goats came from, why they're loose, and we haven't been able to make connection to an owner or anybody that's reported them missing.
Feral goats.
The mystery goats originally numbered 10, but three were captured in the ensuing weeks.
Okay.
The goats were taken to KC Pet Project Swoop Park campus while the officials look to find their owners if they have owners.
Wow. Okay. By the way, it's boring. It's a herd. A herd of goats. It is a herd. Yeah, it's normal.
I like when we have more fun with these. You know, the group of crows is a murder.
Murder or something that, yeah. Gaggle of geese, you know. Yeah,
yeah, we should have more. We should change the name of that. What a group of goats is called. A goat gang.
A goat gang. A gang of goats. A gang of goats would be cool.
A gang of goats, isn't that? A gang of goats.
Like the alliteration, yeah.
There's got to be a good name for that. We have some good things going on in our community and certainly here at the radio station. We got good stuff lined up for you. Join us today from 4 to 5 for Midday Magazine. In part one, we're happy to be being joined by Jacob Wagner, a public health strategist with our Wood County Health Department.
Ooh, very nice.
We're going to talk about the Wood County Community Opinion Survey and Take Back Day, along with some other things. And we always appreciate our friends at the Wood County Health Department. Big shout out to them.
Yes.
And in part two, we wrap up the week with Tom Anderson, Wisconsin State Fire and EMS Memorial. We're going to talk about with Tom. Looking forward to that. They have an upcoming final alarm and roll call ceremony coming up on the 28th. Make sure to mark that on your calendars, everybody.
That's always so cool when they do that.
We'll be here with another Playmakers for you from 5 to 6. Join us as our friends from Quality Post Printing give us a chance to talk with you for the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be your tailgate as we lead you up to the game. Oh, the great rivalry game.
Rivalry game.
6:50 tonight. Our pregame kicks off at 105.5 WIRI. Lincoln High School hosting Stevens Point. The battle for the old River Jug.
Love it.
We're going to talk a little bit about this on Playmakers from 5 to 6 today, and we're getting ready for a great game over on WIRI. Join Randy, Michael, Seth for that one. You know it's going to be a good one.
You know, on Wednesday, Mike made a great point about some of these rivalry games where you just throw the records out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's something special about these. So you're going to go up to another level. I don't know if the players would admit it, but I think they have a different gear for these rivalry games.
Our coverage of the Badgers hosting Alabama begins at 9 a.m. tomorrow right here at WFHR, which means, of course, some programming changes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that game as well on Playmakers tonight. But again, remember, every Badger football game is right here at WFHR all season long. 9 a.m. Saturday, our pregame coverage will start.
Yes.
Of course, we've got a great lineup of shows for you. The Sunshine Poker Show will still be on tomorrow at 7 a.m.
It will be.
Join our man Tim Humble for that one. And Terry Doc's Nutrition afterwards, 8 to 9. Great show right there. Sponsored by our good friends over at Family Natural Foods. And then Over the Back Fence usually on Saturdays, except for usually during Badger season.
We may have to preempt a couple of them, yeah.
Got a great lineup for you this weekend on Sunday night. Spread the word about our Sunday night lineup. It all kicks off at 5 o'clock with Director's Cut, the show that Seth and I tag team. We bring on different guests and talk to different creatives. This week, we have our own Terry Barr on with us.
You have heard Terry Barr, which I talk about in the interview, from the very beginning when we were first purchased by Civic Media, August 1st, 2022. And one of the first voices you heard on the new liners was Terry Barr. She's been here ever since. And man, what a lady. She has had some kind of career, I got to say.
Just a wonderful, wonderful interview. God, I love talking to her. I can talk to her all day. It was a great time. We got to know a lot about her. Encourage you to check that out, everybody. And if you are a creative out there, reach out to us. We'd love to have you on the show. 6 to 8, Seth Faces the Music.
Yes, brand new show this week. We're going home, everyone.
Mm.
We're going home.
Cool.
It's one of those shows. So I've gotten to the point now with Seth Faces the Music that I cannot just say, you know, I'm going to do this theme. I have to check now because I don't know if I've done it before or not. That is how far I've gotten, including everyone. I just want to remind that we are getting close to my 100th show on Seth Faces the Music.
Yeah.
So that's coming up very quickly.
I'm on tape 10 of Unlabeled, my 10th episode.
I had a head start on mine, but yes.
Be sure to spread the word about Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8. It's an amazing show, you guys. And one of your biggest fans, my dad, he talks more about that show than anything else.
That's good. I'll take it.
8 to 9, join us for Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. If it is released from 1990 to 1999, I will play it. Get me your requests, everybody. We have had a lot of fun with the show over the last couple of months, and just looking to grow the show even more.
Yep.
I want more requests from everybody. I want to play your music, everyone. Reach out to us and get us your requests, and be listening for Unlabeled 8 to 9 every Sunday right here at WFHR.
That's right.
Got a blood drive happening in town. It kicks off in just a couple of minutes from 10 to 3 over to Southwood County YMCA, 601 West Grand Avenue, right here in Rapids. Be sure to get over there, all you heroes, and donate if you can. Keep in mind, next Tuesday, September 17th from 10 to 3, another blood drive opportunity over at the former East Junior High School Music Room.
All right.
And Seth, you had a couple things you wanted to touch
on. Yes, you're running out of time, everyone. If you've not done so yet, get your books over to the Moravian Church. Sunday is the final day. We're bringing the book bin in after Sunday. I want to do a big shout out to our own Pam Hilke. Brought some books over yesterday. Thank you for that, Pam. Appreciate it. And anyone else out there, you got a few more days left to get us the books for the book sale. And the book sale itself will be happening October 10th and 11th from 8:30 to 6, and then on the bag sale on Saturday the 12th from 8:30 to 1, $2 a bag. Remember, 100% of the profits go to Mid-State Technical College scholarships. And of course, because it's a church, there'll also be free baked goods and coffee.
Got some great stuff coming up next week. We're going to give you a chance to win Colin Ray tickets. Colin coming to town next Thursday, the 26th, yes, to the Performing Arts Center. Get your tickets right now at SavorTheArts.com, or be listening next week for a chance to win some tickets. Yes. Not just here, but on WIRI as well. Mm. And mark your calendars for Wednesday, September 25th. That is the 52nd annual United Way Day at our local McDonald's. The United Way and McDonald's have been teaming up for 52 years to better our community and create lasting change in our community. Find out more at uswac.org and get some Mickey D's next Wednesday over at McDonald's and help out the United Way do the great work that they are doing, yes, in our community.
On Monday, we've got a big contest coming up, too. A, yes, statewide green and gold contest. So make sure you tune in for that as well on all the stations on Civic Media.
Of all the companies I've worked for, nobody does contests like Civic Media. Yep. I have never been a part of anything. You guys, what we got
great prizes
coming up next,
oh,
week,
man.
You are going to lose your minds over these prizes. And if you think you know me well enough, you know I don't over exaggerate these things. It is really cool what we're doing with this contest. It'll kick off Monday, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
A fire department in Washington State just got its own therapy dog.
All right.
A Bernie Doodle named Amani. That's a Bernese poodle mix. They say he's already brought a sense of calm to the station.
Nice.
And they feel he's going to have a very positive influence.
Boy, that's forward. A reach.
That was a really big reach.
That was a reach, guys.
That
sorry.
Rough. That was rough. A Royal National Lifeboat Institution is kind of like England's Coast Guard, and one of their crews got a call the other day about someone in the water who needed rescuing. But thankfully, everyone's okay. It was a training dummy that had gotten lost in the water and everything.
Hey, but they're on it. They were on it,
they
man.
They were on it. They got that.
Good for you guys.
Well played by them. And a well-done show by you, Seth.
Well, thank you, sir. You too.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.